Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
It's time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J-O.
Oh, you got it. That's what I see. Didn't that feel good?
That felt so good.
The J-O.
That made my week right
my
there.
My God.
That
well,
felt good.
You're on top of the world right now with Laugh With Me podcast, iHeartRadio, and now you're making the... Oh, what do they call that? The guest, the circuit.
We're making the promotional rounds, I suppose.
Like the used to be. Okay, I got Leno on Tuesday. I got Letterman on Thursday. You know, then you got your own show Friday. You're everywhere now.
Yeah, so you can check it out. It was a fun show. The Black Guy Who Tips podcast, awesome show. I was just on that. We had a great hour. Yeah. Discussion about comedy and about WTL and yeah. Just what a fun show. So check that out. A
couple of guys out of Charlotte, right? Or
yes.
Carolina?
It's a husband and wife duo.
Okay.
And yeah, they live in Charlotte. Love the Panthers. Yeah. Love the Hornets.
Speaking Jabron's language.
They were talking about our guy, Kalkbrenner, a little bit. Love him.
Yes.
They want to see some like energy or emotion out of him. And I was like, you're not going to get that. I mean, he is who he is.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while after like a putback dunk, he'll flex a little bit and holler at the crowd. But that's a 20 points, 10 board type of a night, you know? A little bit.
Yeah.
I just appreciate the production.
Yeah, 100%.
The Creighton got spoiled. 4 years of just stellar production of a 7-footer, you know, and the way he protected the rim, that might be the one thing that everyone's overlooking. Like, what's wrong with Creighton this year? What's wrong with the Jays this year? You don't have a rim protector like that.
Yeah, you lost the defensive player of the year of the Big East for the last 4 years. That's what you're missing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Little thing there.
Just a little
6'11" thing there. So Creighton's making headlines maybe for the wrong reasons. Could you say the same for the Huskers? I don't know how Nebraska does it, but man, Nebraska football, they are just all about the headlines, regardless. Yeah.
We lost QB1.
Minnie Mahomes is gone.
Yeah, we lost Minnie Mahomes.
I've witnessed a sigh of relief on X and other social media platforms. Like, well, at least we don't have to defend the Mahomes cosplay anymore.
Yeah,
I never defended it. I was always 100 in. Yes.
We were both, we were very self-aware of what that was and brought the jokes there.
Yo, bro, it's not my fault. I had this haircut first. I don't know what to tell you, bro.
And then, and then Mr. Mahomes, the original, the OG, he's matching Dylan with a leg injury. Maybe we'll see him out on the scooter hyping up the Chiefs this week.
Oh, yeah, so it's a two-way street.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
It is a two-way street, that is for sure. And, oh, my God, I know it's a long shot, but, I mean, it's still a shot. You know, Lloyd Christmas, you're telling me there's a shot.
There's a shot,
Texas Tech's going to have an opening at quarterback next year. Come on. That number five jersey needs a new home.
It's so funny that, like, one of the headlines that came out after Dylan says he's hitting the portal is Texas Tech to not be interested. And I'm like... What is that? What do you mean not interested?
What university gets out in front of that and says, we don't want a former five-star quarterback? So back to reality. There is a bowl game at hand, and Nebraska's only down their starting quarterback, their starting running back, half the offensive line, multiple defensive players, basically their entire defensive coaching staff. Except for Phil Snow, which is he a coach? Is he a mentor? He is good at, once again, providing those sound bites to Husker Nation. Did you hear what he had to say?
No, what did he say?
He said, well, a big reason why the defense looked so bad those last 2 weeks, they didn't even know what the play calls were. When the play call came in, they didn't know where they're supposed to line up.
Oh, my.
He said that.
You can't say that.
Pop Warner coaches don't even say that. Even when it's very obvious that 6-year-old doesn't know where he's supposed to be, you still protect your guy. You still say, you know, Jackson 1 and then, you know, Jackson 2, they got mixed up or whatever. But for it really shows where Nebraska is. You know, I like to push back when I'm like, well, Nebraska's 5 years away, 6 years away, whatever, 4 years away from being. No. It can be done.
It can be done.
But when you hear things like that where these guys that are knocking down north of $600,000 a year to tackle a guy that's trying to pass a ball. That's it.
That's all
you,
it is.
You run by a guy, you try to get by a guy and tackle a guy that's trying to throw the ball. You're getting paid $600,000 to do that, and you don't even know what the play call is. Like, you don't know where you're supposed to line up.
I'm split on this because on one hand, it's like, okay, well, this is that makes sense now with the defense,
that's
right?
That's good.
And then on the other hand, I'm saying, well, we've got some talent on defense because they had moments.
Yeah.
And they had games where things seemed to be pretty put together defensively.
Yeah.
And they obviously weren't being coached up. So there's...
oh, man.
It's like, what could be?
You start diving into those stats, and it kind of tells a grim story. That number two pass defense, that's, oh my God, that's because teams didn't have to pass the ball.
No, they just run it down our throats. Yeah.
I mean, there's a very obvious correlation to that number there and why that was and why we consistently always gave up the overs when it came to offensive output. But even with all that going on, made a bowl game.
We made the bowl game.
Won 7 games.
Rule year 3. Let's go.
Year 3. That's what we were promised, right? We're going bowling again, boys. And now we have the task of playing up a little bit, punching up a little bit, playing a Utah team that just missed the college football playoffs. If you really want to get into it, they probably have a better case to be in it than a couple of teams that are multiple score underdogs. But that's a whole nother story.
That's a whole other deal, yeah. It is what it is now.
But that does play into why Nebraska is such a huge underdog. This line has moved over 3 points. Open at about 13.5 on some books. We're looking at 16.5 consensus.
My goodness.
And everything points towards, I don't know if the Huskers can cover.
Wow. So you're, so with that being said, that means we're going to lose this thing by up to 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Is that where you're sitting? You think we're a 3 touchdown gap here?
I do. And there's all every little additional piece of news that comes out points towards Nebraska getting smacked. Kyle Whittingham, legendary coach at Utah, he's come out and said, this is my last game coaching the Utes. And all of his players followed suit, like, we're going to win this one for the skipper. We're winning this one for our coach. They don't have multiple guys sitting out, like, to the extent Nebraska does.
Right.
So they're playing for something. They also have a chip on their shoulder, feeling that they got slighted out of the college football playoff. But rather than them taking the Notre Dame route, let's get our shots in at Notre Dame here and saying, well, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. We're sitting on the bench like a champion today.
Hitting
the horseshoe there.
I found out exactly why Notre Dame really stepped out of this game. Bowl game. Because it would have been the Pop-Tart Bowl that they would have ended up playing in, reportedly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they just announced, the Pop-Tart Bowl did, that there is special helmets by both teams. They're going to have little sprinkles on the helmet to look like a Pop-Tart.
Okay.
Can you imagine Notre Dame putting sprinkles on that gold dome? They would have had a fit about that.
Sure.
I'm sure they saw in the fine print that there was going to be sprinkles on the dome, and they said, not for us. We are going to sit this one out.
And Notre Dame straight up said, we're not joining a conference, and we're not
altering the helmet.
And we're not playing the college football game, not like you guys.
That's a good impression. It sounds just like their AD.
That's what I was going for. It was like an Notre Dame AD, yep. Okay, stay up on your high horse and don't go to the college football playoff. Good for you. And also, the Pop-Tart Bowl, whether it's fun, zany, whatever, it comes with a lot of publicity.
Oh, my. It's the biggest.
And it's a paycheck.
Big
so,
time.
Fine. I looking at this bowl game that Nebraska got invited to, where Illinois and Minnesota, both teams ahead of Nebraska in the pecking order, got jumped because of fan support, television numbers, everything that went into what the board wanted out in Las Vegas. It spelled a tough matchup for Nebraska.
Absolutely. This is going to be a tough one.
And at least the Pop-Tart Bowl, you got the whole that little Pop-Tart dancing and stuff. It's fun.
They've got like up to 5 different Pop-Tart mascots now. It is incredible.
Well, they need to. There's too many. There's strawberry. There's the blueberry. S'mores. Like, where do you go?
I love a s'mores Pop-Tart.
Okay, so how do you feel about this 16.5? Because it's climbing, and I thought it might stabilize and come back down. It's not.
I thought it would too. That's been the trend for Nebraska this season.
Yeah.
This has all the writings on the wall of Utah just running wild on us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to cover. I certainly hope we do. I certainly hope it's one of those games where everything we thought is wrong and throw it out the window, and they're throwing the playbook out there. And
we're going to roll out our injured backup quarterback and say,
but man, Utah. Utah is the better team, and we're going to be honest about that. They are the better team, and by miles.
Yeah.
So,
and they're good at running the ball. What can Nebraska not do on defense? Stop the run.
Yeah.
And they're one of the best rushing attacks in the nation. Do you have the latest numbers pulled up there in front of you?
Yes.
What's the total?
The total is at 50.5.
So that number has been climbing as well. That's interesting, because I feel like to get there, Nebraska has to help and contribute. And where this offense is, there's just so many question marks. And now I'm hearing some local guys, radio guys, you're Mo Zeke and these other running backs, watch out. You're going to see something. Oh, boy. Okay. I don't think they wanted to utilize Emmett Johnson that much throughout the entire season, you know, getting plus 25 carries a game, 30 carries a game. If we would have saw it, I think we would have saw it, by week 8, week 9.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't put a lot of water in that bucket either.
I'm super excited to see what those guys can do.
Yeah.
But I'm not on the side of, look out.
Here we go.
We've been hiding these guys.
Here we go. So, if you had to put my feet to the fire right now, I'm thinking Utah's going to cover. I'm also feeling the under. They're just going to do what they've been doing throughout the Big 12. That score a lot of points, but I don't know, 50 points. Running the ball, that burns the clock.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. I think Utah's going to cover this thing. I'm kind of liking the over,
because
bowl games sometimes can get a little exciting.
And
you
Big
know?
12 teams, like they are a Big 12 team.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to some points being scored. I'm hopeful.
You got a couple of leans going on here. You're leaning towards the cover, leaning towards the over. I just have too much data, not conducive for the Nebraska fan right now. That's spelling disaster. But at least we made the bowl game.
At least we're in the bowl game.
Year 3, baby. Matt Rhule, we are here. We're living it.
Oh, man, year 4 is going to be incredible.
That's what they meant to say, is year 4.
Year 4, yes.
It's evolved. It was year 3. Now it's year 4. Well, you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. But let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is thelinemakers.com, where we don't chase the hype. We decode it, treating every wager like an investment. TheLineMakers.com. We set the line so you beat the book. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
WTL. All right. Nice, huh? Got a talk show here. Talk show with my mic. I got everything.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J-O.
That sounds so good.
Here we go.
The J-O.
The.
Kind of slid into that one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like with the slow roll out there. Like,
sometimes you got to kind of just test out some stuff.
Churns the heads of the crowd and like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, who is that?
That's the J-O.
That's the J-O.
Oh, I wanted to ask you. I see you with your Los Angeles Chargers. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
On another win. What about your boy, Herbert, disrespecting the post-game interviewer?
I think that
he's catching so much heat online for that.
He took a lot of heat for that.
My gosh.
I don't know that I get why. He was looking for one of his friends.
Yeah,
you know,
he wanted to go congratulate
before somebody. They went to the other locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get that so there's two things. One, he was looking for his friend, and that was probably more important to him. Two, who knows what kind of painkillers he's on because of all the injuries.
Oh, that's true.
Who knows where his head's at, and he's hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. He's on more painkillers than Bud Kilmer put Lance on.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's
great. Varsity Blue.
That's a great reference.
Throw that in there.
Whip Team Bikini. Here we go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot.
How could you forget? Yeah, that's the most iconic scene from that movie.
Now I'm trying to process this, and I still got a show to do now. even on the drive in here, I heard some guys talking about that. It's like, I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill here, you know.
People just love taking shots at him, and he just continues to go out there and take care of business against all odds.
I don't even know how he's doing it right now, because we've talked about that at length, too, where there's not a more beat-up offensive line in the league.
No,
and
not even close.
And he's still getting it done. They're still contending. It looks like they're going to make the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they're pretty locked in right now. Things could happen, so I don't want to knock on some wood here. I don't want to celebrate it too soon, but things are looking pretty good for the Bolts, and it's just a matter of who do they face in round one.
We got a pretty split poll going on right now at on our YouTube channel, and it's very straightforward. Are you happy that the Kansas City Chiefs run is over? Yes, no, maybe a little bit. Where are you? You got to be yes.
I'm a yes. I'm 100% yes. End of an era.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I do get the, like, everyone was pulling for the Chiefs early on. Then it got to be a little much, but everyone's still happy for Andy Reid. But how much do you need Kansas City? You know,
and I'm on the side of all the respect in the world for this run that they're on. Yeah. I wish that was my team, and I wish Mahomes had not gotten hurt, because I'd rather beat them with Mahomes on the field. But with that being said, it's over.
Yeah,
Kelsey can go cry now. It's all good.
Nobody was crying for Herbert last year when he had that devastating injury.
No. Nope.
And a couple of years ago on top of that. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it looks like the Chiefs are going to have to do some reconfiguring. That's for sure. Well, let's get into our props. Prop locks that we like. Well, let's call them locks.
Locks.
We've just been hitting them at a...
They've been locked.
A crazy rate.
We have been...
crazy rate.
So locked in on these player props.
I hope you have at least two locks over there of a punter over 40 years old, or a place kicker, or at least one of the Browns quarterbacks, and take your pick, whichever one you want. But let's start there. Who do you like?
Okay, well, I like Sunday 3:25 Steelers Lions. I got a couple guys in this football game.
Okay,
Jared Goff over 262.5 passing yards. Yeah. He's a man on fire, and the Lions are a desperate football team outside of the playoff picture currently. Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown over 92.5 receiving yards. Those two kind of go hand in hand, as he is the number one option for Jared Goff. The thing is, Pittsburgh, the 26th ranked defense against wide receivers this season. Yeah. I do expect this game to hit kind of into that shootout range.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit proving all of that with the amount of points they've been scoring every week. 6 out of 7 of their games, the last 7 games, have been hitting the over. The Lions, they're going to be going all out here. Pittsburgh tends to just match their opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this part. This is actually my favorite of the week.
Well, and there's a few things going on here. Talk about Pittsburgh. This could be vintage Aaron Rodgers. He can't do it every week. Can't do it every week. But every once in a while, he shows you, okay, this guy's still good for a 300 yards, you know, 2 or 3 touchdown type of a performance. And this is where Pittsburgh's at. And it's kind of been a low-key, kind of a secret of the NFL last few years. Their defense is trash.
Yes.
They have. If they're going to win, they got to win a shootout. Yep. And Detroit, I don't know if there's any team that's more welcoming to a shootout than the Lions.
They enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just tell.
Yeah.
Like, their offense, if they eat Goff sitting back in shotgun and just going all day.
I was listening to one of those fantasy football gurus talking. Lost in the playoffs. But anyhow, I made the playoffs.
Oh,
okay, buddy?
Playoffs.
I lost in the playoffs.
Sometimes it's just good to get there, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's...
Right, Husker fans?
Small victory.
We made a bowl game.
Bowl game.
It's just good to be there.
Year 3. Love it. But he was taking the stance or making the argument that Amon-Ra St. Brown is the best slot receiver in the league. And it's hard to argue.
It's hard to argue.
One of, you know, top 5, top 3 type of receivers in that slot. So I like your angle there. And Jared Goff, he wrecks up the yards.
He does.
I like all those overs.
There we go.
Well, I got one I like over here.
Yep.
We're going to go to Sunday night. A game that's going to have a lot of eyeballs for many reasons. But I like Lamar Jackson going over his rushing prop here. They're taking on the Patriots. Patriots coming off of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Game that they felt they should have won over the Bills. Yes. So they are mad. They are ticked off. That's a ticked off.
And they should be.
Yes, they should.
Yeah.
You had that game.
You did.
You had it. How could you do that? But what goes around comes around, I guess. You're right. Ask the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Why it's likely to happen. The Patriots defense, they've had a lot. They've had trouble shutting down a mobile quarterback. They rank in the middle of the pack as far as rush defense is concerned. And it goes down even further when they face any team that has any kind of a threat of a rushing type of a quarterback. Lamar Jackson is all that. He's getting healthy. That team is playing with some more confidence. And there's a window now with Pittsburgh leading that division.
That's I love what you're saying there about Lamar, because you can see it from the beginning of the season with Baltimore, and they had a lot of struggles.
Yeah.
And then Lamar's
and
hurt.
Yeah.
And then he's hurt. And then they turned it on, and they've suddenly jumped up the standings there. They're right there with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And every single game matters. They're one of those teams where, like, the playoffs started weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell just in their play that things are really ramping up for them.
Yeah.
That the Patriots, though. Holy cow.
Yeah, they're good.
They are a really good football team. Lamar tends to play up.
He does. He has had so many banner games, even dating all the way back to his college days, where if it's a national audience, he balls out.
He does. He does. So many Ravens. Like, I'm thinking of Ravens-Chiefs games.
Yeah.
He's just going toe-to-toe with Mahomes or Josh Allen, you know, against the Bills.
Yeah.
It's
a 45-42 type of a game.
Yes.
You know, and he's got two rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns.
And his legs are a big part of that.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
All right. So we've gone 2 for 2 already.
2 for 2. Sunday at noon, Bengals at Dolphins. Not a big football game as far as, like, what matters for the teams, but...
Man, there's a lot of buzz about the Dolphins right now. A lot of buzz.
Here's the thing. Tua's benched, okay?
Yes, he is.
So now you've got... was it Quinn Ewers, rookie quarterback at
Hook'em.
But here's the thing. The Bengals give up a lot of scores to tight ends. The Dolphins happen to have a guy named Darren Waller who can catch.
Yes, they do.
He can catch a touchdown from time to time.
Yes, they can.
I'm saying right here, Darren Waller, anytime touchdown plus money, take it right now. Cincinnati, second most allowed touchdowns to tight ends this season. Quinn Ewers is going to be looking to showcase what he can do. What an opportunity for him.
Yeah.
There's the argument of he's being put in so that the Dolphins can just kind of, like, slide their way out of the season a little bit by benching Tua.
Yep.
Or here's an opportunity for a guy that maybe can spark a little fire in under those Dolphins.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts there in Miami and a lot of different ways you can digest it. And I've heard a lot of them over talk radio this last couple of days. And it is, oh my God, what it was like, I think there's $99 million wrapped up in Tua's contract right now.
My goodness.
That's why people didn't think that that could happen. You know, you can't bench a guy like that.
You can't.
Because then you can't shop him.
Right.
But on a personal level, Ewers, and boy, what an idiot the decision he made as far as entering the draft. Slipped all the way to the 7th round. I think he got paid about $1.5 million more dollars at the University of Texas last year on NIL deals than he did in the NFL this year.
Wild.
So he's going to be chomping at the bit to play, and he can sling the ball. But he's going to take it on as, this is my opportunity.
Huge opportunity.
I'm not looking at it as management. I've heard a lot of people talk about both of these teams want to lose this game so they get a better draft pick. On an ownership level, that makes some sense. I get it. That's not how the players are looking at it.
Well, that's the thing. The Bengals, with Joe Burrow at quarterback, and he is playing, is not going to just sit back and lose this football game to get a better draft spot. That's not just how he's wired.
Yep.
I 100% believe that this game is going to be a legit football game, and Ewers is going to be trying to ball out. So, Darren Waller, anytime touchdown.
Darren Waller, come on, one more time. I got a likely smack for you here.
Okay.
Isaiah Likely.
Oh.
Sunday night.
I like what you did there.
Over. Yeah, a pun. Play on words?
Yeah, play on words.
Why isn't it a pawn? P-O-N. Play on words. Why is it a pun?
Well, that's That's a heck of a question.
These are the things that I think about when I'm writing these scripts. It's unreal. Anyhow, we're going over. Right now we're looking at a 34.5 receiving yards for likely. The Patriots, for everything that they've been doing good, covering tight ends has been one of their bugaboos. I already talked about how I believe in Jackson this week, balling out. One of his favorite targets is and always has been his receiver.
Yes, it is.
Likely, there are some weeks where he looks like the best tight end in the league. Well, if the Ravens are going to play up and this is a got-to-get type of a game, here we go. I like likely getting over that 34.5 yards receiving.
Well, that seems very likely to happen with a football game that is going to be very active.
Yeah.
And I think we both can agree with that one. All right, I've got one more for you.
Let's do it.
And it's on Monday Night Football. Woo! It is the 49ers at the Colts. Brock Purdy over 3.5 rushing attempts.
Wow.
Kind of out there.
Yeah.
Kind of out there. The Colts defense does bend. This is a defense that has been very opportunistic. Is that what it is?
Opportunistic.
Yes. They get a lot of turnovers, but they do bend. And Purdy is a very smart quarterback. In fact, there were times where people said he's just managing the game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's pretty good. Pretty good.
He is. I mean, that's why he's in the league.
Yeah.
It's not because of how athletic this guy is.
Yeah, which means he's going to limit turnovers to try to better the opportunity for the game.
Yep.
He's averaging 4 rushes per game already. I like Brock Purdy to take advantage of the bend of the Colts defense, not turn the ball over and rush it a few times. That should be easy money for us.
Yeah, and it's such a low number. You can definitely see that. And he's going to be trying, you know, when he extends the play and he moves up in the pocket, a bend don't break type of a team has that covered.
Yes.
You know, so he's going to be forced to go through his progressions, then take off.
There you go.
4 times, right?
Purdy. Four times. Again. We just need 4 times.
Come on, smack that over. We're up against it right here, but I also like Jonathan Taylor in that game. I'm going to look into that over. Look into the over on the rushing because it doesn't matter. He gets that rushing over.
He looked pretty good with Phil Rivers quarterback, so I could totally see that in game 2 with those guys.
Yep. Well, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is NordVPN. Browse, work, and play online with confidence thanks to their world-class cybersecurity. Shield your online activities, hide your virtual location, and block everyday internet threats with NordVPN. Hey, receive up to 77% off when using our WTL link. Find that in the description on YouTube and on all of the podcast platforms. NordVPN and WTL. Don't go anywhere. This is Where's the Line?
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hello.
Hi, I'm looking for a Mr. Ron. First name Mo.
Mo Ron? Moron. It's you, you little puke.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny Carson, right? That's a proud Nebraska native.
He is. Oh, I get some Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny going there.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it ties into who we are and what we're about. You know, it's not just the stats and the information, but we're also entertainers, right?
Oh, 100%.
But we do have another guest that probably leans more towards the actual data.
He's the data. Yeah. Say he's the analytics side of this thing.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But we got Rod Vermilio with the Global Sports Bet Network back on the program. He's going to be talking LA Rams at Seattle for today, Thursday night. He's also got Pittsburgh versus Denver.
Okay.
Or Detroit, excuse me, Detroit. Those Lions fans, they just crop up out of nowhere. Like, God, they just kind of like laying in the weeds and kind of like a lion, I guess, on the Serengeti. Is that what's going on here?
That could. You know what? I'm jealous of Lions fans. They get a football game every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. National broadcast. I mean,
they don't win often, but they get.
They are now.
They are winning some games now.
He's also got some Friday college football bowl season. We are in bowl season. We are bowling right now. Huskers are bowling. So without further ado, Rod, take it away.
Hello and welcome to another weekly segment featuring Global Sports Bet Network, Syndicate Sports, and Day Trading. A shout out to Andy Clausen and the entire Where's the Line team. And as always, our Global Sports Bet Network Syndicate Trading Group enjoys sharing our personal syndicate trades and opinions in both NFL and college football weekly action. That said, let's jump right into Thursday night NFL action. The 11-3 LA Rams headed to Seattle to take on the 11-3 Seahawks. This primetime matchup is as close as you can get as far as efficiency on paper, which is undoubtedly why this line opened up as a pick'em with the money line slightly favoring Seattle at home at -115 versus the Rams on the road at -105. Westgate Las Vegas currently has this at a pick'em and -108 on the money line. Either way, the Rams come in with elite offensive production at 30 points per game, which ranks second, while Seattle's defense allows just 17.3 points per game, which earns them the second-best defense ranking in the league. On the other side of the ball, Seattle's offense has been almost as efficient as the Rams, generating 0.495 points per play, which is slightly ahead of the 0.486 points per play for Seattle. Both are nearly identical. Why is this important? The simple answer means this game comes down to a few very, very key factors. Turnovers, the offense's ability to stay ahead of the chains, and third down conversions. On paper, the team who has the most offensive plays should win this game. Red zone efficiency is where the Rams differentiate themselves, scoring touchdowns on 66.67% of the time, ranked number three, while Seattle's defense allows touchdowns at a rate of 51.16% of the time when their opponents reach the red zone. Both teams are identical as well, going 8-1 straight up and 7-2 against the spread in that last nine-game span. All that said, the NFL home field advantage could be the difference, not a syndicate bet or trade for us, as we suggest sitting back and just enjoying this game. But for those of you who want some action, we suggest a 7-point tease with Seattle plus the 7 and the total over 37 in this Thursday night's NFL primetime game. Sunday NFL action, let's focus on Pittsburgh at Detroit. Pittsburgh comes in 8-6, visiting Ford Field on Sunday in a playoff implication game, while Detroit is also 8-6. Detroit is in a huge dogfight for an NFL playoff spot, while Pittsburgh is coming off back-to-back wins and a short week where they dismantled the Dolphins on Monday night. Pittsburgh currently holds a one-game lead on the Baltimore Ravens in the NFC North. The Lions are coming off a 41-34 loss to the first-place Rams, and this is a favorable spot for the Lions in the Dan Campbell area. The Lions historically perform well after a loss, going 14-1 since mid-2022. The Lions historically also perform well at home, and I expect this to carry over this Sunday. Pittsburgh, despite having a one-game division lead, are 28th in the league in defensive rush EPA. That said, look for Detroit to control the line of scrimmage, establish the rush, and this will give Jahir Gibbs the chance for a big game on the ground. Pittsburgh has also had trouble covering slot receivers, and Detroit having arguably the league's best slot receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is a recipe for an offensive explosion for the Lions at home against the Steelers. The Lions have been working with an injury-depleted secondary and have been exploited of late. The Steelers are heavily reliant on their short passing game, so they'll need to have some success airing it out downfield if they want to hang in with the Lions. In fact, Aaron Rodgers is dead last in the NFL in average intended yards per pass at 5.6. This line opened at Detroit minus 6 and total at 50, climbing to Detroit minus 7 and total at 51.5. The Lions sport a league-leading 30.6 points per game and even higher at home at over 32 points per game. The over has cashed in the Lions' past 6 of 7 games, mainly due to their defense, as it ranks 24th in the league in defensive EPA. This will be a syndicate play at Detroit minus 6.5 or 7, and a great spot for a huge two-team 7-point tease. Take Detroit at a pick'em and the over 44.5. We see this as a Detroit victory. We see them winning this game 30-17 or 30-20. Let's jump into college football, and many Husker fans finally received the news they were bracing for when Dylan Raiola announced his entering the transfer portal. This comes after Dylan's brother, Dayton, decommitted from the Huskers a few weeks ago. Not to worry, Husker Nation, the sun continues to come up on a daily basis. That said, let's go bowling and jump over to Friday's card in another syndicate bowl game where Kennesaw State at 10-3 takes on Western Michigan at 9-4 in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Both teams were stellar at home, going an 11-1 combined record, but a much different story on the road for both teams as they combined for a 7-6 record away from home. This line opened at Western Michigan minus 4 and the total at 48.5. The current line sits at Western Michigan minus 3 and the total at 48.5. The money line with Western Michigan at minus 160 implies Western Michigan has close to a 64% chance to win this game outright. Western Michigan tallies 23.6 points per game, while Kennesaw State's number sits at 28.3. However, Western Michigan's defense ranks 20th, giving up a stingy 18.2 points per game, while Kennesaw State gives up 24.3. This is highly due to Western Michigan's forcing 20 turnovers this season, compared to Kennesaw State only forcing 13. Predictive models have Conference USA champ Kennesaw State winning 24-23, and that would be a great welcome as they go bowling for the first time in their school's history. MAC champion Western Michigan is looking for its first bowl win since 2021 and its first in the Lance Taylor era. This is the 6th Myrtle Beach Bowl, and the first 5 looked to be close on paper. However, all 5 turned out to be blowouts of 14 or more points. Kennesaw State could win this game if the X factor of their defense being able to dial up and apply pressure to the quarterback. However, if they don't get to the quarterback and solidify the line of scrimmage, it could be a long morning and brutal welcome into their first bowling experience. Kennesaw State likes to move quickly, while Western Michigan likes to play under control and limit mistakes. That said, Kennesaw State doesn't have much to worry about in regards to a Western Michigan offensive explosion, but they control the game on the ground, play disciplined, and these two terrifically coached teams should provide the closest Myrtle Beach Bowl yet. We have our money on Western Michigan in a 28-21 or 28-24 win. Take Western Michigan minus the 3. Remember, if you want the best winning syndicate sports betting and sports day trading info, go to thelinemakers.com and subscribe today. Have a great weekend, and we'll see everybody next week here on Where's the Line.
Thank you, Rod. That was Rod Vermilio with the Global Sports Bet Network, of course, touting thelinemakers.com. Get over there, check it out. We always got different weekly and monthly packages to check out as well. What do you think of that? Buying some points, moving some points. He also has some thoughts over Dylan Raiola.
I know.
It almost felt like a relief, you know?
Everybody's talking about Dylan Raiola. That's everybody is. It's going to be good to move forward, I think, after this is all over.
Yeah, we don't want to throw any arrows at Minnie Mahomes. But yeah, it did feel like both parties, okay, we're okay.
We're going to be okay.
You're okay. We're okay. Everybody's okay.
Yeah, we're not going to take a step back because QB1 left. It's all good, guys.
Well, once again, thank you, Rod, for joining us and dropping all that valuable information. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL.
WTL.
Capitalism is the only way, Leslie. It moves our country forward. It's what makes America great, and England okay, and France terrible.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
Woo! And right here, right now, we are getting back into Ric Flair, the J.O. as well.
To Ric Flair.
Well, the woo! Woo! That's the bottom five. Nobody gets more excited talking. Well, it's not bad football. It's still good. They're still paid professionals.
Yeah, paid professionals that go out there and do a job at a very high level.
These are just teams that are just kind of down on their luck maybe for a week or a season or whatever the case may be. But we still find the value, especially the entertainment value, in these games. So we're not just going to pile on the bottom five teams in the NFL. We're going to give you the best five bets that go along with these matchups.
That's the thing. It's easy to take, you know, sort the standings, mm-hmm. take the five worst teams in the league record-wise and be like, oh, they're bad. Oh, they're bad. Oh, they're bad. Sometimes none of that matters.
No.
And it's just a matter of, okay, what is the trend of that football team this week? How are they sitting? What's their mindset? And what can we get out of it, which is a best bet?
You put the Chiefs in the bottom five last week, and boy, did they live up or down to the billing.
They did.
You hit the nail on the head with that one. So I'm curious. I'm interested. Let's get into it.
It makes me wish I would have put the Chiefs in the bottom five 2 years ago. maybe they would have played down to it and not won a Super Bowl.
Now you're trying to wield the show to get your Chargers to win.
Well, this week's week 16, bottom five, number five, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7-7. They just lost a tough one to Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons, 29-28. Yeah. They are 1-5 in their last six games. Now, sure, injuries are a big part of that, and they've had a mix of that. Baker Mayfield continues to roll out there. He's hurting.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing with
Irving,
the
running back's been out multiple games this season.
Mike
that
Evans.
Hurt him. Yep.
So they've certainly had their share of injuries, especially on the offensive side of the football. But it appears right now they are playing some uninspired football, and their coach is calling them out, especially after this game. He's just saying, this is not the style of ball we want, not the effort we want. You don't want to hear that.
He used some colorful language in that presser. A lot of beeps if you're listening to it over the radio or, you know, on TV.
So on one side, you want to hear that, right? You want your coach excited and try to motivate the team.
Yeah.
On the other side, this is a football team trying to win a division still.
Yeah.
They are tied with Carolina right now at the top of the NFC South. And on the slide that they're on and the effort they're giving, it's not looking very good. So they have found their way in the bottom five. They're actually playing Carolina this week at Carolina. They have two games against Carolina in the final three games. My best bet here, Carolina plus +3. Tampa Bay is 1-7 against the spread in their last eight. You've got the kind of the state of the team, Carolina.
Yeah.
They're not playing great, but they've been playing okay football.
They do that a lot. The Panthers do that a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
You just don't really notice them. They just kind of, they're there. And you also got a Buccaneer team who ranks 30th in the league pass defense. And I think the Panthers have a capable enough passing attack. Yes, they like to run the ball, but that hasn't always been stable for them throughout the season. This does feel like the Buccaneers may continue to slide.
Yes, they are. So there you go. Tampa Bay Bucks, number five. Number four, the Indianapolis Colts. Now, they were number five last week. They have dropped to 4. They are 8-6, and that's because of the loss to Seattle, 18-16 on that last-second field goal. Here's the thing. Phil Rivers on 3 days of practice, coming off the street.
Yeah.
He's retired out for 5 years, right? Comes in, does a okay job.
I was
going
to say, yeah, it was okay plus. Like, yeah, it was more than I thought.
Yeah. he kind of gave a spark to the offense a little bit. You saw Jonathan Taylor playing better. Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen that in a few weeks.
You saw a passing touchdown.
Yes, he did.
In the first half.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And he looked like he had energy and exciting style of ball still in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's still Phil Rivers, and it was still a last-second loss, which is something he has seen a lot of in his career.
It really has been, yeah, one of his calling cards, unfortunately for him.
And his whole thing to come in was to get a couple of wins to secure a playoff spot. That Seattle game, that was a tough loss. They have the 49ers coming up, they have the Jaguars coming up, and they have the Texans coming up.
Oh, my gosh, three teams that are ascending right now.
Yes.
You know, my goodness.
So the Colts, now they might still be in a playoff spot or right on the brink of it, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a tough stretch. So 49ers this week, my best bet is actually going to be Colts to cover.
Ooh.
Plus six, because think about it, in the Phil Rivers era of the Colts, they mm-hmm. are 1-0 against the spread. They did cover last week.
1-0 against the spread,
double
baby.
Double-digit underdog they covered.
And that's where I wanted to go with it. Like, I didn't expect them to win that Seattle game anyway.
No.
And I wasn't sure about the cover, but my goodness, they gave them a run, gave the Seahawks everything they wanted on the road.
Yes.
So I kind of like this cover. For all that the 49ers are and their fan base is crazy, they haven't impressed me this year, right?
Right. That's,
you know,
the 49ers have been a team, too, that's been ravaged by injuries and inconsistent play.
And they also got a favorable schedule compared to a lot of the leaders of divisions coming from last year for how poor they did last year. And I can speak to this because I'm a Bears fan. So I can say, like, we got double-digit wins. But
speaking of favorable schedules.
I know. Okay, I get it.
So would you say the 49ers are one of those teams, if you're in the NFC playoffs, you want to play the 49ers?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I like that.
Yep. I'm not calling them a paper tiger or whatever. They're a good football team.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go all in on the Parcells. You are what your record says you are. I'm not going
to
go there.
That's not true at all. In fact, bottom five speaks exactly to that. Number three, the Miami Dolphins at 6-8 are finally been put to rest. They will not make the playoffs this season with that loss to Pittsburgh on Monday night. Tua, 0-6 in these cold games. What do we got to do to get this guy to play at least okay in a cold game? I mean, do we need to, like, shove him in a cold climate during the offseason and just get acclimated?
You know, his little brother did fine for Maryland, played some cold games up in Maryland when he was man and things. Sometimes you are just who you are. And how many years has he been in the league? And you always expect them to be able to break out of that type of a – when it's just such a blanket statement.
Right.
But he cannot.
He cannot. It just consumes him. You know, the Dolphins, even as soon as they arrived into Pittsburgh, they went out on the field in with zero temp and with no shirt and just tried to get acclimated. That couldn't happen.
Yep.
So the Dolphins finally dead, but they're also benching Tua this week, and they've got the Bengals. So Quinn Ewers will be the quarterback. My best bet here versus the Bengals, Cincinnati -5.5 on the road.
Yeah.
The Bengals are 3-1 against the spread in their last four. I'm sure that has a lot to do with Joe Burrow being back.
Right.
But no, I like a spirited Bengals team this week.
I really like that too, because Joe Burrow plays with a lot of moxie. He does not want to give up games. He doesn't care about next year's draft picks, any of that. And here you have a 7th-round draft pick in Ewers from the University of Texas, one of the many starting rookie quarterbacks this year, Jackson Dart and company, Gabriel Dillon, and Shedeur Sanders. The Browns have two of them, of course.
Yeah.
get our Browns digging there. But this is a spot where I do like the Bengals to get right. Even the games that they've lost with Joe, they really push the other side as far as they can go.
Yeah, one could argue that especially that Bills game should have been a win for the Bengals. So there's that. That's a good Bengals team when Joe Burrow's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Dallas Cowboys at 6-7-1. They lost to the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Their playoff hopes need a miracle.
Yeah.
They're not. Oh, I don't think they're quite dead yet, but they are on life support, possibly.
Yeah, I just saw on Polymarket on their prediction, they got just under a 1% chance.
Yeah, it's not
to
good.
Make the Super Bowl.
It's not
but
good.
But that's, yeah.
Which is interesting because going into this game, there a lot of hype on Jerry Jones was right. Things are going the Dallas' way. Their offense is unstoppable, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yep. And it certainly looked like that. And then you're playing the Vikings, who have been so inconsistent this football season. And they go ahead and drop it. The Vikings look good. And
it gives a lot of fuel to those people out there. You know, I've seen a lot of them on X. The NFL is rigged. No, the Cowboys have the dead last pass defense in the league, giving up over 255 yards per game through the air. And, I mean, you're talking the likes of, like, J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
Who, I mean, he was the bottom of the – he was a punchline for, what, weeks 3 through 9? And now he's just cutting you up?
Literally, depending on the week, he is the punchline, yeah. And then he'll go and do something like this. Season full of question marks for Dallas. They do have, at home, the Los Angeles Chargers this week. My best bet here is under 49.5. There's two factors here. Dallas has hit the over 4 out of their last 5 games. We know about their offense. It's incredible, right?
Yep.
The Chargers have hit the under 4 out of the last 5 games. That has a lot to do with the injuries on the offensive side, kind of the offensive line struggles. But this defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
And has caused a lot of turnovers at key times. I like the defense to take over here and the Chargers to kind of steer that ship.
You're kind of selling your defense a little short here. They're the number 2 ranked total defense in the league right now.
There you go.
The Chargers only behind the Texans by just a couple of yards per game.
So there you go. So defense wins championships.
I like that under.
Go Bolts. And second, I like the under in this one.
Hashtag Bolt Up.
Number 1, the worst team in the NFL as we head into week 16. You got to know it's the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-8.
You got to know that.
The era is over of Chiefs domination. The loss to the Chargers 16-13 at home, by the way, eliminated from the playoffs. Lost Patrick Mahomes for the season and possibly more. I got something to say about Mr. Kelce.
Okay.
He, for the second week in a row, has refused to speak to the media after the game. He says, I'll hit you up during the week. I'll catch up during the week. No, he's saving it for his podcast. He has a monster in his podcast.
Yeah.
He's saving it all for that, for the views, for the clicks, for the downloads.
He's taking it to new heights.
There you go. I don't like that Kelsey's doing that because his day job is to go and speak to the media after football games.
Right.
And as me, a Chargers fan, I want to hear the pain after the game from Kelce.
Sit there and live in it.
That's right. Well, it's an end of an era there. We won't have Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl.
Oh.
That's sad as well.
And we're going to have Bad Bunny.
We got Bad Bunny. Though. That's good. Yeah. my best bet here, they are at Tennessee. I say take the over in this football game,
really?
Even with the change of quarterback for the Chiefs. The line is at 37.5.
Okay.
Okay, so that's low.
Okay.
And the Titans have hit the over 9 times this season. So they're scoring points. Now, they only have 2 wins.
Yeah.
So we're not saying that the wins are piling up for them.
No.
But they are capable of scoring points, and so are the Chiefs as well. So
Gardner Minshew is a nice stand-in. And that's the argument that I've heard throughout this week is, like, this offense – you know, it's not going to operate at the level of Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
But Gardner Minshew is a really nice guy to just go ahead and finish out the season for you, and you're not going to take a too big of a step back. And covering a total that's still in the 30s.
Yeah, 37.5, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the pundits and various personalities that I've been listening to, especially in the sports betting world, you know, they still like all the overs, like Rashid Rice, receiving yards, receptions. They still like the overs. So that's telling me that the offensive coaching staff's still pretty confident that Gardner Minshew can help you get that over.
Well, I live on the side of, had Minshew been put in the game earlier, had Mahomes gotten injured earlier, I think the Chiefs could have won that football game.
Yeah.
Because Gardner Minshew's pretty good.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is our bottom 5.
There it is, folks. There's your bottom 5 of the best bets to go along with those games. Well, that'll about do it for us this week at Where the Line. Be sure to check us out on YouTube and those short videos on game day to give you the latest edge possible. Also, follow us on ESPN Tri-City Radio over on their Facebook page. And you know we're all over X, podcast_WTL. Thanks to Rod Vermilio of the Global Sports Betting Network for joining us once again. He's just touching all the bases there. Bowl games, Thursday night football, Sunday night football. He even had it's always fun to hear people outside of the Nebraska bubble
talk ball.
And talk Nebraska ball. Like,
yeah.
What's up with Dylan and Ryle again? So it was fun to hear his take on what's happening are still happening.
Yeah, still ongoing.
Still going with that. I did mention to you off air there, a lot of reports are like, oh, he is out. He's not coming back. Remember Emmett Johnson?
Right.
He actually tested the waters last year. No takers. All right, Nebraska, can you, I'm coming back. Yeah. So some people are saying, well, what about Dylan doing that? You know, just trying to market himself and maybe get a better price from Adidas or whoever. They're like, no, he's not even on campus. Hmm. I'm like, well, that can't be because it's finals next week.
Yeah.
He's got tests to take.
It's student athlete.
Student athlete.
Yeah.
He can't be off campus.
It's not
yet possible. How college ball has changed, but it really hasn't.
Pro athletes.
For Jimmy Odom, the J.O., I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.